Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, November 4th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and I'll click on a weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading. We picked up last week, started in the Gospel of John, read chapter 1. So we're going to pick up in Gospel of John, chapter 2, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, for the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions?
No, we have no questions, John. Hold on a minute. I have an announcement, though.
Okay.
Just have to find it. Here it is. As you all know, we've talked about it twice now, the Red Pill Expo on November 16th and 17th is now a free live stream. So if you're at all interested, I would suggest you take account action and sign up now. And enjoy it. The title of the whole meeting is The Chasm between collectivism and individualism. Now, some of the speakers, for example, G. Edward Griffin, the Expo chairman, is going to give a talk on, he's also the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island and World Without Cancer, but he's going to talk about myth and meaning of group identity. Now, Dr. Brian Artis, who's one of my favorite health people, who blew the whistle on remdesivir and on snake venom and vaccines, going to talk about the health benefits of nicotine that you will not believe at first. Now, Alex Newman, he's an author of the Freedom Force, council member, authored a book called Is Martial Law a Plan for Emergencies or Emergencies Plan for Martial Law? There's Dr. Alfonso Manzo, who's a specialist in the role of electric currents and frequencies in biological systems pertaining to your health, of course. The topic he's going to speak about is the science between hands-on healing. John Moore is a retired private investigator, his topic, and I'm sure you have all heard some conjecture about this sort of thing. Was the moon landing reality or theater? New evidence you probably have not seen, and many more things. Michelle Melendez, author, reports on suspicious parallels between epic forest fires and epic hurricanes. Are they both engineered? Dr. Leela Ali is a pharmacist who took the red pill and discovered that the business model of modern medicine is hazardous to your health. Marlene Siegel is Dr. Vet Med, and she has over 20 years of experience with holistic veterinary med, is going to talk about turbo cancer, which is now rampant among pets, but it can be reversed, so it isn't reserved just for us human beings. They're willing to let it spread to your pets, apparently. It'd be interesting to know how they do that. So anyway, if you're interested, I would suggest you go to the redpillexpo.com and sign in for the free event. And that's going to happen on the 16th and 17th of this month of November. And I do not have any questions, John.
Okay, thank you. By the way, the queue is open. Everybody wants to get into the queue. *6 and 1 if you're coming in on a phone. And if you're coming in on the app or browser, should be a button there to get into the queue. You know, you said the 16th and the 17th.
Right.
And it's going to be live over the Internet. And yes. I guess you have to sign up. Are they charging anything to sign up, do you know?
No, it's free. Unless there is a Sunday session that's a special event, and that one they charge a nominal amount for. I'm not sure how much it was. I didn't check into that.
Do we know what hours they're going to be starting from? How many hours a day? What time they start? What time they finished?
That I do not have. I have not seen a schedule of the speakers and what times they're on yet. I went to the website here a couple days ago, and I didn't see it posted yet.
Okay. And do you know if this is going to be available? Well, let's put it this way first. How are they putting this out? Are they putting this out over YouTube, Rumble, or is there some other kind of a platform? Do you have any idea?
I think what you do is you go to the www.redpillexpo.org and sign up, and they will let you know all that information and start time and so on, and the link that you need.
Okay.
It'll just be a free stream. I'm not sure what it's going to be connected to. I doubt that it's a YouTube.
Do you know if it's going to be available somewhere after the event? I mean, days or weeks later, if people wanted to listen in?
I would assume so. It has been in the past.
Okay. All right. All right. If anybody has any questions or comments, the queue is open. Again, *6 and 1 to get into the queue. And if you're on an app or browser, should be a button there. I don't see anybody in the queue at the moment, so not sure exactly. I haven't planned anything. But we'll talk a little bit about a few things we've put up in the past weeks. couple of things I realize. People need instructions, and organizing a committee of safety, of course, we put all those instructions together under starter committee of safety, and you come down to handbooks, videos, and tools. And there's lots of different things that we put together, particularly in handbooks, you know. In the handbooks, we had put together, let me get down to it. In the handbooks, we put together, it's a little bit below this, maybe. PDFs, charter. Okay, yeah, we do have a common law handbook. We have County Committee of Safety organizing structure. Let me just click on that. That basically is really just giving the structure of a committee and some information. It's 12 pages of just basic information on structuring the organization of a of a committee of safety. Now, we have a Committee of Safety Committee Man Handbook, which is focusing in particularly on the political process and how things work and how you have to work things out with other people outside of your county. So we do need to encourage other committees of safety in our surrounding counties to get going and communicate with them. Of course, that's the main reason for the Committee of Correspondence. We also have, of course, the Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook. Again, these are all free downloads. You can also purchase pocket handbooks if you want to up on Amazon. They're available. And you can find those handbooks that are available under Welcome tab. And you can come down to books by John Duresh. And all the handbooks that have been printed. There are a couple of handbooks I haven't printed out and put up on Amazon. When I get time, sometime in the future, get some time, I'll put them up there. Now, we've been putting together the handbooks, and it has been some people working on their committees of safety and they're not really following the instructions that well. Could be a couple of things. Sometimes people want to do things their way and just want to recreate the wheel. And that can cause some problems, especially when you want to connect with other committees of safety and also understanding, you know, what it is that NLA is doing as far as their participation. And NLA, of course, is only an advisor. And of course, we provide for... You know, a lots of education, of course, but we provide for people to work out their education. Also, we give counseling, but we don't really get involved with whatever is happening within people's county committees of safety. But there are a lot of things that we do need to kind of set ourselves up in a proper structure, and it's extremely important. And also how to take our educational system back, you know, the local schools as far as from K to 12. And also we should be visiting, of course, colleges and other places that where we can go in and give some information on how to have government by consent, because that's the main thing that NLA is doing, is teaching people how to have government by consent. People don't know how to have government by consent. Think about it. You know, for those who have been looking at a lot of the things here we have in NLA, of course, you're starting to put things together. But as far as people who have not been here and have not seen all of the material we put together and all the handbooks and videos and audios and just tremendous amounts of information, PDFs, memorandums, and PowerPoints, lots of things, lots of tools in order to get things going and to teach people how to have government by consent. You know, people think generally government by consent is going out and voting once a year, you know, local and then, of course, statewide and national. And a lot of people think, well, that's government by consent. Well, that's not government by consent. That's democracy. And it's really not democracy either, because really we are not a democratic process. We are a republic. And we're a very special republic. We're a common law republic, unique to any other nation in the world. But in any event, we do need to work together, you know, in order to accomplish different things. But people do not know how to have government by consent. Now, other people might think, oh, okay, well, we also have the ability to become part of a jury or a grand jury. And indeed, that is part of government by consent, just like voting is part of government by consent. But parties destroy the whole process of voting. And of course, you know, we also have justice courts where we have the juries. We're supposed to have justice courts, but we actually have the civil law courts. And in those civil law courts, you know, they do have juries which are stacked. They're very, everybody's handpicked for a particular case, whether it be this case or that case, whatever it is. You know, they have a lot of questions they ask, especially if you go into the look at the federal handbook and question why they're asking certain questions that they're asking, such as, for instance, where do you get your news? You know, do you listen to ABC, NBC, CBS, or Fox News? Do you have weapons? Anybody in your family have weapons, you know, as far as guns are concerned? They ask a lot of personal questions. And they're really doing just checking you out to try to figure out what kind of a category you fit into so they can figure out what kind of a case they want to plant you into, because they're going to get their final results. They also, of course, have taken over the process as far as deciding the law. And they'll tell you, you don't get to decide the law. That's up to us. Well, they destroyed the whole system. But in any event, if it was working properly, that would be part of government by consent. But it's a lot more than that. It is getting involved in the political process without getting involved into the politics. Politics are a problem. The political process is the solution to all these problems, to put the right people into the right places. And of course, these people that appoint other people, for instance, you know, judges on a federal level are appointed and then approved by the Senate. And we don't get very good judges coming up because we have too many enemies in the Senate. And the problem with that, of course, is the destruction of the 17th Amendment, which also destroyed the balance of power in the Constitution. But again, what we did do in order to help people, just started this recently, maybe a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember exactly, but a few weeks back, we did a video, and one video is Presents Government by Consent, and it's an hour long. We put it here under some of the first things to do when you start a committee of safety. So I'm just going to read this one paragraph. And again, we have the queue open. Nobody in the queue, *601, if you're on a phone. And there should be a button if you're on an app or browser. Okay, the following series of videos, again, these are videos we just put up over the past weeks, will teach distinctly how to introduce, create, and run a committee of safety. These videos, or PowerPoints, we provide both, should be played as you organize your committee of safety. You should print out copies of the charter and resolutions to hand out. We put together, you know, the charter and resolutions, and people, of course, need to add to it. We just put the structure up and some things that will uniquely bind us together from one county to another. So anyway, you should print those out and hand them out to all committee members, and after playing the video, discuss additional information you might want to add to that. You'll also find that as time goes on, you will need to add addendums to your charter and resolutions. These videos and PowerPoints and many other videos, PDFs, Microsoft Word, and many more tools are available below the videos for download. And everything is available for download here. After forming your committee of safety, some members will join after you have played some or all of these instructional videos, and you should send your new members to nationallibertyalliance.org/handbook. It's also found under Start a Committee of Safety, come down to handbooks, videos, and tools. So after forming your committee of safety, you want to make sure that everybody has some of these have watched these videos, and there's lots of other instructional videos that we put together, and so that everybody needs to catch up and be informed of the committee's of safety's plan to structure, and the duties for each subcommittee. Now, the first thing, as I mentioned, you know, when I did the presentation here in Dutchess County, where I live in New York, What I did is I don't remember if I played the video or did the PowerPoint. I think I did the PowerPoint live, but I might have played the video. I don't remember. But in any event, after playing the video, there was an introduction. And we had quite a few people showed up in the first meeting or the introduction. We had about 20 people, and then I had the opportunity to share with another 15 people. So I think we're going to grow very quickly. We're going to have a first real meeting coming up, matter of fact, this Thursday, which I'm talking with someone to videotape for the purpose of instructing, assisting, showing, helping people to see how really a meeting should go forward, especially the introductory meeting where you don't really have any chairman or treasurer or secretary yet. Matter of fact, that's going to be part of the process of what we're hopefully going to be able to videotape. And once I videotape that, we'll probably put it up right underneath here, this the presents to the government by consent. Now, what I did do is I started doing also, and these are short videos. The longest one here is this one here, which is introducing government by consent. It's an hour and 2 minutes long, something like that. But the rest of the videos are like 26 minutes long, some of them are 15 minutes long. They're not long at all, but they're very good for instructional purposes and laying out the reasoning of why particularly certain committees have to do certain things, and also some instructions, especially on the educational part. The educational committee subcommittee is probably the most important committee we can be working on these days, and that is to take the education in our local schools back, get our children really a proper education, and bring back morality back into the schools. And so we, that's probably the first thing. Matter of fact, here in my county, we have 16 schools K through 12th grade, and so 16 school districts. And so we're going to start, talking about this on this next meeting coming up, which again will be the first meeting, and start to break people up so that they would call these different school districts and find out what the schedule is for the meeting of the boards, where the parents and people of the county can come and listen in and participate to some degree, for 2025. And then of course, we have a plan on how to go about going through taking our schools back and working with the sheriff. But first order of business, of course, is bringing the sheriff on board. So we'll be working on that, too, this coming Thursday, preparing for a meeting with our sheriffs.
So, John, let me interrupt real quick.
Sure.
You're speaking of this, it reminds me of something that GR has covered. He makes the point, the argument, that it's just become a custom, and I'm paraphrasing what he says, that you get 5 minutes to speak in these meetings. He goes, but this idea is ridiculous, and that our freedom of petition and speech cannot be abridged to 5 minutes. So if you and GR haven't spoken of this, maybe you should consider speaking with him about this, and perhaps you could incorporate this in this training if people have, when they go to these meetings, are limited to 5 minutes, because GR makes one heck of an argument. I can't reproduce that argument, but you could contact him and discuss it with him at length if you're so interested.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. Well, yeah, I do cover that kind of an idea. I haven't spoke with GR, but look, I too felt the problems, especially when I listened to the Senate talk, and they cut these people off in 5 minutes, and they really don't get enough information. They don't get enough answers. They don't get enough anything. And the reason for that is that they have too much to do, that they shouldn't be doing, ultimately, because, the Senate, as much as Congress I think is even worse, but in any event, they spend a lot of time doing things they have no constitutional authority doing, creating things and writing laws and applying different things that they have no business doing. And therein is the reason why we, the people, must become educated. As Jefferson said, and I quote this quote often, if people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and will never, ever be. So forget about it. You're not going to have liberty as long as you are ignorant. Because it's through our ignorance, how many people realize or don't really understand that Congress is spending so much time and the Senate is spending so much time on things that are just wasting our time and money, destroying our republic, and creating all kinds of problems. But going back to the point that Eric brought up is that 5 minutes isn't enough. And what we're doing in this committee, and we may change this as we go because the people are free and independent, and again, we do cover this in our in these videos here, that when someone has a question or two or a comment or something to add or whatever the case may be, that they would get 5 minutes. But again, if they, and they have, an opportunity to, with a second part of a question maybe that's attached to that. But after they're done, they're able to get back in line again and raise some more questions. That's one of the things we're kind of thinking of. Sometimes, of course, if someone has, and again, this is where you've got to do this kind of on the fly. If someone has something really interesting and but lengthy to share, we could do something where we can give the person 15 minutes to address a particular situation or a problem. This is something we'll probably write up into our paperwork for resolutions, or put it into the charter. But I do agree that it is a problem. You can't really get anything worthwhile being done with 5 minutes. And now it is true that there's a lot of people. Maybe I think the committee of safety we're putting together here in Dutchess County is going to be quite large, quite quick, because of the group that I have attached and connected with, and they were very, very excited about getting involved because they've been meeting for a long time, looking into different things, having different speakers come and addressing different problems, but they really had no solutions. They had the same solutions many of us had in the beginning that were involved with maybe trying to become a committee man, trying to maybe just working out, trying to get people into office that will do the right thing. But that's about it. They have no understanding or any kind of a process that they're aware of in order to remove these people. There are some states, for instance, you'll get a lawyer to say, well, you can't recall those people because there is no law giving you the authority. What are you talking about? There's no law to give us authority. That's part of common law. We're the people. We ordained and established this Constitution. We put you into office. We'll take you out of office. You can't tell us what we can do and what we can't do. And therein is the argument. And especially, and again, there are some states that are exercising that kind of an idea. Then there are a lot of other states, of course, that allow for the process of recall. Recall is an unalienable right. If a person is in some kind of a power somewhere in whatever the position they're holding, and let's take for instance the ability for Congress to get someone out of office by going through the process, and then the Senate goes through the process, and they can get rid of someone, but they don't do it. We got so many judges up there that don't know their head from a hole in a wall, and they don't even know the Constitution. A lot of these judges that I've seen being interviewed to go up that this particular administration has put on, people without experience, people who have never really held a position as a judge or magistrate outside of maybe administrative processes. But bottom line, ultimately, anyway, is that's all they should be involved with is administrative processes and decisions. They shouldn't be in a court of law because, the common law doesn't permit for an elected individual to run a common law process, as far inside of a court. We have what's called chancery courts, and we have chancellors. I know Pennsylvania actually calls the courts chancery courts. They refer to them often as chancery courts, shall I say. And they do call some of the judges in a lot of these places chancellors. And they're judge, jury, and executioner. They do the whole gambit. And they will work through the process to try to keep a jury out. And no matter how hard you try to get a jury in, they continue to push it out. They don't want it. The corruption in the courts, the problems in the courts, the injustice in the courts, It's pretty bad. And, you know, I know a lot of people are starting to realize this, people who've been around for quite some time and starting to understand and realize that, you know, people are being beat up in the courts. The whole thing is against the people. Look what they did to Trump. Look what they did to Bannon and a lot of other people. And then they use SWAT to come in to make your arrest and on people that, you know, didn't break the law at all anyway, and it certainly wasn't violent, so why would they send SWAT? And why would they do it at 3 o'clock in the morning? And why would they notify the news media so that they can videotape it? You know, so there's so many problems. We have to get back to government by consent. And if people are not willing to get a proper education, to understand how the process works, how we can take these things back, how we can take our courts back, and have the ability to judge everything in the courts, you know, in a court of law, law being if you go into Black's Law or Brovier's Law, and you look up law, in law, or at law, it refers to law that proceeds according to the common law. Now, they'll call common law, you know, trial judges' decisions that they may make, and there's a lot of really, really bad decisions. Most of them are bad decisions. And, you know, so they'll use that and say, well, that's pulling together common law. Nothing could be further from the truth. You know, it's called comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y. And that is, again, just a bunch of elected individuals making the law in trial courts. So it's really a big problem. And again, people need to get an education in order to do this thing, to take government back. But anyway, I do see we got one person in the queue. We'll go to them in a minute or two. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Again, *601 on the phone, Apple browser, click the button. Okay, another video we have is on the resolutions themselves, okay, and then we have it on the charter. Let's see, where did the charter go? Maybe it was before that. Okay, the charter was first, and then the resolutions. So these videos are not very long, but they're good, they're instructional. You can also download what's being read and spoken about on these videos. The charter, the proposed charter, and the proposed resolutions are in PDF form, and we also have them in Word form. Here we have it in we have Word form, we have PowerPoint set up, we have the videos, and we have PDFs. So, for instance, on the charter, let's do Word. Word is good because, of course, you know, you can make changes a lot easier in opposed to a PDF where you can't, unless you have a program to open up the PDF. But anyway, what I did is I printed all these out, played the videos, and then we had an open discussion. And we'll be talking this next meeting that will be happening here on this next Thursday. We'll be talking about the things that we might want to add to the charter or of course, to our resolutions. And that could be done at any time, and it's expected to be added to as time goes on. You know, we'll come to a situation where we kind of get stuck and we say, hey, maybe we need to make a rule or something so that we can, you know, work things out a lot easier so we can add it into our charter. Or if something we want to really focus in on, we can add it into the resolutions. And so that's always available for that to grow. One of the other things we're doing is inviting people from other counties to our committees of safety for a couple of reasons. Number one, to see what we're doing here in this county and encouraging them to consider to do that in their county. We also will assist those people, and you know, I myself will go out, and hopefully other people too, to a county to assist them directly as they put together their committees of safety. They can also come together, five or six or more, or whatever, people, and kind of create their own committee safety within our committee of safety, getting ready in order to really propose it to the people of their county and then build a committee of safety. But we must establish a relationship county to county and eventually state to state. It must be done. This is what our founding fathers did, and we must mimic what our founding fathers did. Why should we want to recreate the wheel? But again, let me move this. Just to go back to these videos, Again, I put these videos together because people are more apt to listen to a video than to go read a book, unfortunately. And I seriously, unfortunately, people don't read anymore unless they're tweeting and reading tweets, you know. It's a major problem, in my opinion, and especially with our children. They need to be readers, otherwise they're not going to be educated properly, you know. But, you know, videos do help. It kind of lays the groundwork, and that's what I did with these videos, is to lay the groundwork and refer back to the handbooks. Because as you go forward and working through these things, those handbooks become very, very valuable. I mean, again, let's take, for instance, let me see if I can find this. Resolutions, no, PowerPoints, no. Well, let's take the organizing handbook, okay, particularly the committee man handbook, I think, yeah. We have 40 pages. Now, the video on the political, I'm not sure whether I completed that or not yet. I might have. We'll take a look in a minute. The handbook is, like I said, 40 pages, so it's a lot of information. But the video might be only 20 minutes long. First of all, it's an introduction, and it gives certain points in there, and it refers back to the handbook so that you can get more information in the handbook here or there. And that hopefully will assist the people to really structure themselves right. You know, you can't put the cart before the horse. And again, first order of business is absolutely critical. You have to establish, you know, who you are, what you're doing, and put together, you know, your charter, your resolutions. You have to go get a seal. Matter of fact, I just... set up a seal for my county. I have to update the seal page, by the way. Let me see if I can find this real quick. Okay, here's a seal I put together. Dutchess County, New York, Committee of Safety, 1776 AD. And, you know, Declaration of Independence is the key to who we are as a people. That's why I put that there. And we also put up a page where you can get this seal and instructions on the seal. Let's see if I can find that. I think it's down here. Flyer. Where is seal? Let me... Let me do a search. I know it's in this list. Here it is. Okay, right here, word. Now, here's the Committee of Safety seal I put together, and I found when I went to Staples to get this, you could do it online, the instructions on, originally I was putting it together this way. I'd like this seal a little better than the seal I just did. This is Dutchess County, New York, Committee of Safety seal, and in 1776 in the middle. So, but I couldn't get the second ring. They didn't have that available up there as, you know, something I could work off of. So I had to create something a little different. So I'm going to update this so that people who are going up there to create their seals, they'll be able to make it. I'd like to put Dutchess County down here, New York, and then Committee of Safety seal. I forget what I had their seal, and then 1776 in the middle. What did I put here? Let's see. Originally it was... Nope, not that. I guess I must have closed that. Here it is. Okay, yeah, Committee of Safety seal. So it's a little different. So I'm going to go up and redo the instructions on this so that people won't find it too hard, because they're going to try to create this and it's not available to be created no more. I also looked up in different places online and I didn't see anything that would give me the necessary tool to be able to create it this way. But it is pretty simple to create, and again, everybody needs to get a seal. But first order of business, getting back to that, once you get your resolution done, you organize the Committee of Safety, you get your chairman, co-chairman, treasurer, and secretary, and you start to work and put, of course, the resolution and charter together. along with literature, different books that you want to deliver to the sheriff. You want to put it together, you want to seal it, by binder. You want to do a binder on the left side so it opens up like a book. Anybody in the group doesn't have the necessary equipment to do that. It's pretty cheap to buy that stuff anyway. And you should buy it, because it'll be a lot cheaper to do it yourselves than take it to Staples or Office Max or someplace to have them do it. So you could take all your work on a thumb drive, give it to them, have them put it together and put it in and bind the side, and then all you have to do is put the seal on it. That, of course, will get more expensive over time, because every time you visit any political group, any board, town board, village boards, board of education, local school boards, maybe going up to meet up with your county legislature or, whoever, okay? Every time you visit with some group, some political group of individuals, you want to bring your charter, your resolution that has a seal on it, and give it to them, and maybe some literature for them to read, which most of it could be downloaded, but again, you can also purchase the handbooks, pocket handbooks, if you want them. But the first order of business is to get the sheriff on board. And inside the information we give them, it will alarm the sheriff to let it be known that the sheriff is not willing to work with us and stand up and protect the Constitution. And first order of business for them is to protect the people from the government, ultimately, an overreaching government. And we surely do have an overreaching government at this point in time, which I think is going to change quite dramatically in the next couple of months, but we'll see what happens. But again, we have to put that all that stuff together, deliver it to the sheriff, 5 or 10 minute meeting, that's it. We don't want to spend too much time with them on the first time around. Let it be known, we'll be contacting them. Maybe at that point we'll know when we'd want him to visit our Committee of Safety so we can talk to him, that the whole committee can talk to him. And that should be at least 4 to 6 weeks out from the time you hand them the information, because they have reading to do. They should get a copy of the book, A Government by Consent. They should get a few copies, maybe half a dozen copies of the sheriff's handbook, and some other material that we put together. And of course, your paperwork that you put together as a Committee of Safety, who you are, what you're doing, what your purpose is, what you plan on doing, and the importance that things to have a real good connection and working connection with the sheriff. And again, if the sheriff is not willing to do these things and is not willing to educate himself, unfortunately, we have a new sheriff and he hasn't read the book yet. He's been in office for almost a year now, and he hasn't read the book. He doesn't seem to be interested. Well, we're going to make him interested, because if he's not going to be interested, then we're going to do a recall on him and get another sheriff in there that does have a desire to actually do their job and do what they took an oath to do, and that is to protect that Constitution and to protect the rights of we the people from an overreaching government. Once you get the sheriff on board, anytime you're going to go visit any political, group, whether it's a town board, village board, again, anybody, even the education system, as far as the school boards are concerned, you want your sheriff with you. You could send a deputy, doesn't matter. Because every time you go talk to these people, we the people ordained and established the necessary things, the authority through the constitutions, both the federal and the state, we ordained and established these things for the purpose of them to fulfill those things, to obey those things. And if they're not going to obey, and if they're not going to listen to the will of the people, then we're going to remove them from office. And the first way to remove someone from office is with a writ quo warranto. That's one way we can remove them. And that can be done very, very quickly. It's a 3-day process, and they're out. Now, they may not want to move, but then you can move that into the court and have the court, if we have courts of justice, which we're working on, then you can cast those people out and replace them. Or, we could do a recall, depending on the situation. So recalls is another thing. You know, the boards are easy to dismantle and cast out. It would be a lot more difficult to get rid of people in Congress or in your state assembly or whatever the case may be. But that can definitely be done with recall. It's a 90-day process. But people need to understand that, how they can exercise that, how they can file, you know, serve right there at the meeting. We could serve these people with the necessary paperwork, starting with the process of writ quo warranto, you know, where they have to respond to and deal with it within 3 days, or filing a notice that we're going to be recalling them. That gives them the opportunity to maybe change their minds. Also understanding the power and the authority that people have just that they're coming together as a group, you know, because eventually the committee man, the statutory committee man within the counties will eventually fall away. We don't have to do much to get rid of them. They'll fall away through attrition as they do anyway. And a lot of the people over there that are disgusted that leave will come over to the committee, you know, the county committee of safety, which is the true committee man. And so therefore, you know, we can use the leverage once the statutory committee man becomes of no effect, and the only thing left to get these people onto the ballot is, remember, they need us to walk their papers to get them onto the ballot. They cannot get onto the ballot unless they have somebody to walk their papers. And that's what the committee men were doing. That's what we need to do. And when we become that powerful to walk their papers and let it be known when we want them to do something that is righteous, that they're going to do it, otherwise we're not going to walk their papers. And if it's serious enough, we're going to remove them from office through recall. But again, all these things people need to understand, how this is done, what the process, how many signatures you need, you know, all the different things that have to, you know, you have to know. And it requires an education. If people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. You can't control a government if you're ignorant. You can't even know if the government is breaking the law, breaking their oath, unless you know the Constitution and unless you know the common law. And it's not a big deal. Common law is nothing more than common sense. It's that simple. It doesn't get any more difficult than that. That which is righteous and just, common sense. So anyway, again, if anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and click the button if you're on an app or a browser. Let me just get back to where I was, and we'll take... again, we have one person. Go ahead, Jeff. Let me see if I hit the button there. Go ahead, Jeff. You got the mic. Jeff from PA. I think you've been unmuted. Let me see. All right, go ahead, Jeff. You got the mic.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good. This is Jeff from Allegheny County, PA, Allegheny County Committee of Safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I've emailed Jan a couple times, and I let him know we joined up with a group from our state known as the Pennsylvania Pioneers. And then they actually have formed their county du jour. They're in Lancaster County, and they go by an assembly, or you know, also known as Committee of Safety. But what they needed was like you suggest, five or more members, and they acquired that. And their from what they said, their population is about 500,000 people, and they needed a minimum of 30,000. And we need 18 counties in our state out of 67 to constitute a du jour state, du jour, you know, under common law again. And I just wanted, you know, to get that out there for anybody interested, especially those who live in Pennsylvania, but anybody else in the country, because there's a website also known as awakenandunite.com, and there's a guy by the name of David Roberts. He does an excellent walkthrough on the subject. He has videos to accompany, and you said about people enjoy watching videos rather than reading text, so maybe, you know, if the listeners out there might want to check it out, maybe link it up, but there's a couple other people, too, that might be interesting guests on the Monday night. Gentleman by the name of Dr. David Champion, he's an expert on the income tax, the truth about the income tax. And he has a Rumble channel, Dr. Reality, Dave Champion, Dr. Reality. And then there's also another excellent Rumble channel called the Commoner Law Group. And they put a lot of emphasis on the right to travel with plenty of facts in court cases to back up traveling versus driving. And there's a lot of success stories, too, from a lot of caller-ins, you know, that come on there. And there's some returning guests that have success stories to share with the audience, too. But I just thought, you know, just something for the NLA and its members maybe to check out just as supportive, you know, evidence and just maybe somebody to pair up with or team up with, you know, as we're in our efforts to, you know, generate committees of safety, which we are. We're established about 3 years in the making. We have a seal, and we're going to take our seal and just further strengthen it through this movement, through the PA Pioneers, you know. And we do have a website as well. So if anybody wants to check it out as an example, it's paaccos.org. Just that.
Okay.
Just,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I just wanted to leave you with a few resources and websites just to check out and maybe share and see what you think about it as well.
All right. Well, appreciate that. And if you can connect us with those individuals, you know, we'll have a meeting. And if we're compatible, you know, we'll work together and get them up onto our website, put some information out. But bear in mind, you know, we've done a lot of work on dealing with USC 26. You know, of course, that is dealing with the income tax courts. They have no power or authority to even have. The whole thing is a facade. It's an appearance of something. Even in USC 26, it makes it clear in USC 26 that this is not law, yet they execute it as law. And they run it as a common law process. They actually allow and permit a jury that they stack, of course, and control. And, you know, and people are controlled all the time. They don't even realize it. Because all they have to do is kind of do a psych on them and find out, you know, who they are, what their desires are, their thoughts, their education, a lot of information put together, and then you can get the right person to sit on the right jury to get the right results, which is a guilty, a decision of guilt, and so that they can put people in jail and make money off of them, because that's what it's really all about. And it's also, of course, to destroy the American spirit, ultimately. They want to frustrate the people. They want to silence you, take away our rights. They want us to be obedient to them. They become the masters. That's a problem. But I will tell you, and we'll still meet with them, and we'll put their stuff up. It sounds like we probably could be compatible with them. But I will tell you that... if you go to our front page, we did do a paper, a presentment with the order to the United States Supreme Court. If people haven't read this, you should read this. I'm thinking of doing a series of short videos on this particular paper. Maybe break it up into 20 or 30 videos, part 1 through part 20 or 30, or whatever the case may be, and put them up on the Internet, and maybe that'll get people to, you know, to look at that if they can listen to a 20-minute video and get a reasonably good education out of that 20 minutes, and then, you know, through the series, get a really good education, especially for anybody who wants to really take care of their own business in court, which we all should be. We definitely need to teach our children to take care of their own business when they grow up to be able to go into courtrooms and take care of their own business, you know. Understand how the system works, how due process works. We need to teach that in school, you know. Probably in high school, probably a good time to start teaching something like that. Ninth, 10th grade and on. You know, and if we bring a proper education back to our children and bring back morality into the school and teach children, you know, that they have a duty to give back to the nation, to the country we live in. Because there's no other nation in the world that has what we have. Although it's almost lost, we're about to win it back. But once we win it back, we're going to lose it again unless we become educated in these areas. So our children is our future. We have to teach them. So we have to take this back. We have to take our schools back. but in any event, anybody that is learning and wants to learn how to write, the best way to learn how to write is to read other cases, particularly United States Supreme Court or even your state's Supreme Court decisions. That's where you really learn to write, from reading those things. And you know, and papers that we've written. We've got a tremendous amount of papers. This presentment is an education in itself, because it covers about 21 or 22 particular problems in the courts that need to be addressed and repaired. We need to change and we need to get back. But just getting back to the USC 26 thing, you know, it's become pretty clear, and Trump has already said it already. He said it on the Rogan. The first time he really said it completely. You know, he'd say, well, you know, there's not going to be any more taxes on people that are on Social Security. No more taxes on tips. And numerous other things he mentioned. Really what he means is no more income tax at all. There may be some kind of a situation with corporations, but however that would work. You know, a lot of the money that's collected through income tax is really going to destroy America. That's what it's being used for, and to line the pockets of these tyrants. That's what a lot of this money is used for. Occasionally they'll throw us a bone. They didn't do that with Hawaii, though. They let Hawaii fall apart, and we haven't heard anything back from what was going on in Hawaii now with that island. You know, look what happened with the last hurricane that hit, the first hurricane that hit Florida. I mean, hit the Carolinas, I mean. And there are still people out there that are struggling. You know, they're given $750, and they're not even giving that out. And then they say, well, we're broke. Well, where did the money go? Well, it went to pay for, of course, all these individuals that illegally are coming into our country, and it's paying for their hotels. It's giving them a $3,000 a month in their pocket on a card. They got cell phones. They got everything. You know, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I am so surprised that anybody would vote for Kamala Harris. I just can't even fathom, except for the perverts and the other people that are really just completely, you know, brain dead, totally following the, you know, the news on TV and not going to other sources and getting places where they can get, you know, both sides. They don't have both sides. They just got one side, and the other side is Hitler. You know, so this is the problem we have, and I find it, you know, so yeah, they would get some votes, but I can't believe that they should anything near even just a couple of percents in any particular state. I just can't believe that there'd be that many people that dumb, that lost. But maybe, you know, I have heard that we're like 79 or 80% of the people in the United States have been woken up. Don't know how true that is, but that's was out there, and I kind of think maybe at this point that might be true. You know, it's going to be a landslide, no doubt. They're going to cheat, no doubt. There's going to be problems. You better be prepared for it. There's going to be violence in the streets, especially in the cities. It'll probably migrate itself outside of the cities to some degree, but generally speaking, even the B cities, I think, will have major problems. I know we have two B cities here in Dutchess County, and I think we'll have a problem in both of those, because we do know that some people, illegal aliens, have been put up down there. So it's going to be a problem. And so anybody who hasn't prepared, banks are going to fold soon. They're already starting to be teetering on, and actually a lot of them have. Some of them have failed already, but there's a lot of teetering of the banks. Some of the billionaires have pulled billions of dollars out of the stock market. That's going to cause a huge effect. We're ready for the major collapse. Bank holiday. You're not going to be able to get money out of the bank. Don't keep any money in the bank. You know, I keep very, very little money in the bank, and you just don't want to keep anything there. Because once a bank holiday comes, you're not going to get your money. And if they do reopen up, maybe they'll give you 5 cents on the dollar or something. Who knows how this thing's going to work? But it's going to be really drastic. It's going to be biblical. It's going to be destructive. It's going to be nationwide. And people need to be prepared. If you don't have enough food to get through at least 30 days, you got a problem. You know, and it's heading here. And we need to do something about it. But we also need to do something about making sure that doesn't happen again. Now, it's pretty clear with me with Trump, and he, you know, I knew this for quite some time anyway. You know, just kind of, you know, putting two and two together, and it becomes clear. and certain statements that are made that can't be done in any other way other than certain things happening. And one of those certain things happen is the Federal Reserve has got to go, because it's neither federal nor it's a reserve, it's foreign bankers to begin with. And so the Federal Reserve has got to go. And of course, the income tax is a direct tax. It's clearly written in the Constitution. Our founding fathers understood the problem with that, and they made it clear: no direct taxes, period. So income tax is a direct tax because you can't avoid it. And so that's got to go too. And Trump said it's going. If anybody listened to the Joe Rogan interview, it happened. He made these statements towards the end. That he's going to get rid of the income tax process altogether. We don't need it. There are other ways to get the necessary funds and monies to run our government. First of all, we got to cut government back hugely. I think we got to probably clip out 80% of government to begin with. They spend so much money. And get rid of these lawyers, you know, which is something that we're working on. Bar attorneys particularly who are anti-constitutional. They're anti-American. They're anti-liberty. They think they're better than you. After all, they got the esquires. They got a title of honor. You're a dummy. You can't come into our courts, and they do everything they can to prevent you from coming into their courts and represent yourself, or take care of your own business. I'd rather put it that way. And people who try to do that and give them a hard time, they send them for psychological evaluations because they must have a psychological problem. Because they're not listening to and being obedient to their masters sitting in that courtroom. This is serious problems we have, and we can't afford to go back to them. And we can't really fix them all. Look, Trump can do everything he could do with the white hats and the military, and he can bring everything back to order. But if we don't get, and he can even, you know, I heard that there's a move to try to get rid of all of the federal prosecutors, replacing them all. That's definitely something that has to have to happen, but it's got to go further than that. We have to get rid of all these federal judges. We have to get rid of esquires from entering into our courts. We have to bring common law back into our courts. We have to get rid of this civil law. We don't need to know any kind of legislative law because that only controls the people. We have common sense, and that's what we have to get back to. We have to get back to common sense. All right, Jeff, you got anything else? We got a couple other people in the queue. Are we done?
Oh, yeah, I just want to leave you with Dave Champion. He actually has a book on the income tax, and he clarifies that it's an excise, not a direct tax, and it's meant to be used against people that are in corporations or foreign persons in D.C., not the several states. But if you remember this title, it's called
the Supreme Court ruling that made that point too. But go ahead.
Union Pacific Railroad Company in 1916, and it was ruled as an excise. So you have to be participating in a government privilege. But the name of the book is Income Tax Shattering the Myths. If you remember that, just check it out. But I'll try to give you his link if you ever want to try to maybe hook up with him and have him on. Cause he's always looking for an opportunity. He says so many people.
If you can get contact information to Jan, where Jan could make a call and maybe we can have a meeting and talk and see if we can work together. You know? Again, with that guy, I think we can because I know what he's doing. I understand what he's doing and I agree with what he's doing. I mean, just from what you're telling me, at least, you know.
He goes by the law and facts, nothing else, because he said there's so much hype and opinion out there, he's tired of all the noise, and he just cuts right to the fact, because he's actually not been paying 31 years, but he's a businessman, he was a former law enforcement officer and a former Army Ranger, so he has quite a background to prove himself, but yeah, I'll have to send something off to you.
Okay. All right, we're going to take our next call if we're done. Thanks, Jeff. Well, before we do that, I just want to make the note again about this paper here, which is a presentment with an order to the United States Supreme Court. You open it up, and again, it's 155 pages, okay? It's actually 128 pages with attachments. So it's a long read. It's an education, and every American should read it. Like I was saying, Trump could do everything he can to bring things back, but if we don't get our courts back, if we don't get rid of these tyrants in the courts, then get rid of the bar, all these esquires, I call them the minions of the New World Order, because their whole purpose was to destroy our court system, and eventually, and that goes back to 1750 when they started to invade the colonies and bringing in their political heresies, I guess you'd call it, or judicial heresies, maybe we'll call it. When we became a nation, that expanded out to destroying everything, and they have. You know, you send any kind of information to an individual in government, you got an army of lawyers that get in between that paper and the individual. They'll look at it, and the individual will never see it, and they'll throw it out, and they'll say, it was nothing. This is a bunch of crazies. Don't worry about that. And they listen to them, you know. And that's unfortunate. Every time I go to talk to anyone, I find myself talking to an army of lawyers. And in the courts, a judge. My first battle in the court is with the judge. And often that goes on for months. Can't get down to the point that we're there for. It's just, if we don't fix our courts, this nation is as just as its court system is. And our court system is absolutely corrupt to the core. Corrupt. It's just destructive to anyone that walks in there, especially if you're going up against the status quo. You know, they weaponize the courts just like they weaponize the justice system, the FBI, and then all the other three-letter organizations within our government. So, again, we have to take our courts back, and that's why. You know, we're building democracies all over the world in order to destroy those people. The purpose of a democracy is to lead us into an oligarchy. That's its only purpose. It commits suicide at the end of the day. And again, these two-party systems, it couldn't happen without the two-party system. You need to have a right and a left. You need to have that argument. You need to have all of that misinformation going back and forth. And before you know it, your head is spinning and you don't even realize they're negotiating away your liberties. Who do these people think they are to go up there and say we got to get rid of the First Amendment, or we got to get rid of the Second Amendment, or any of these, or we got to all to do due process? These people don't deserve due process. Or you'd be found guilty on a thought crime, literally being found guilty on thought crimes. That's where we're at, and the people are sleeping. And we got there because of our ignorance and our inability to do anything about it, because we're not reading and we're not learning. We're not figuring this problem out. Well, here at National Liberty Alliance, we have figured the problem out, and we can take the whole system back. It starts with the courts. You got to bring the courts back under the control of the people, under the law, the common law. All right, we'll take our next caller there. Let's see if I can get this going. Next question. Okay, we're just going to have to mute Jeff because he's not disappearing. 701 area code, Richard, I think. What state are you in?
Richard, yes, from North Dakota.
You got the mic, Richard.
My question is several of them, but it's just go back. I've been talking on this off and on for several months about this crooked landlord that committed fraud on the first day we checked in and been printing fraud every day since. He has a broken water main. She's been billing us for it, and I keep telling her, I'm not responsible. You are. Nope. She threatened the lease, and a whole bunch of stuff was going on down. Well, we got to the point where we weren't going to renew the lease, and I read the lease carefully, and it says that if we don't give 60-day notice or don't renew by the time the maturity date of the previous year's lease expires, which was June 30th, then we go to month-to-month lease. Go to month-to-month lease. It goes to the market rate, which barely clearly stated in the lease agreement, is $150 higher than what we were getting, some so-called discounted rate. We're paying every year since we've been in for 5 years. Every year she'd raise the rent $100 a month.
Don't you just love lawyers?
I'm sorry?
Don't you just love lawyers with all their paperwork? Go ahead.
Oh, it's just stupid. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I tried to get a lawyer to help, and he said, well, all you can do is either check out, or when you move out, just keep track of everything and demand, take it off the last month's rent or whatever. Well, we were trying to buy a house, and that ended up being a doggone fiasco. The guy was a crook, the banker. He was doing everything he could to get, he looked at my age, he looked at the age of my wife and the kids they had. You sure you want a house payment this high? Implying my age, right? I'm 71. And I said, why? What's it to you? If I die, everything's taken care of. says, we got life insurance, and besides, they make more money than I do anyway. My son, or stepson, and my wife. And so, yeah, they can handle it. Were you going to get a divorce? Well, he found out she was a Filipino. And I'll tell you what, the Filipinos are really talking about being harassed and discriminated against here in this country, and it's part of their little plan. But so anyway, we get down to that point. We never did get a statement from the West Fargo City Water Utilities Department. I called them and asked them. There's only one meter. There's four townhomes connected together. Just to give you a little background. There are four townhomes connected together with one meter. Now, on the day we signed the lease, we asked, what is the typical water bill? Because in the lease it says we're responsible for the water, city and sewable, and the electricity and the
What state do you know? North Dakota again?
North Dakota, yeah.
Well, I know here in New York that's against the law, and I'm sure it is anywhere, but go ahead.
Well, my point being is that she said, well, I said, we've got our name in there, but I haven't put the name. I don't know how to put the name in the lease. I said, I'll take care of putting your name on the city water bill. Okay, great. Well, the first month payment comes due. I made the rent payment, but I didn't get a bill. Well, I get a notice from her. I'm late for my payment. I got charged $50 late for my rent. This is, I'm not late with my rent. I said, I haven't gotten a water utility bill. You said you're going to put it in our name. Well, I did. It's in your AB property management account. That's not a utilities bill. Okay, then I need a copy of your bill that you got showing me how much water I use and how much sewer that I use and how much my garbage bill is. I'm not going to pay if I don't know what it is, because the bill was $105 our first month.
Just so you know, sewage bills are worked out through water bills. You know, they work that as a they correlate the amount of water running through and runs through the sewers and the sewers that way, and so they work that off of the water bill. Just so you know that, but they can't
understand
work the water bill. They can't
the
work a water bill
just
off you if you have four people on the same, meter. I mean, how are you going to divide that? You know, that's again here in New York. Here in New York, it's against the law. If a landlord did that, you took them to court. The court would press upon them that they're responsible for the electric bill or water bill or whatever the case may be, you know. but in any event,
I measured my own water bill myself. I just bought a little meter and I measured. We never used over 1,450. We were asked. I went and got a copy. There's a total of five fourplex townhomes. They're all common wall, and there's four of those. And with ours, it was five. So I went down to the city utilities. Can I get a copy of all the bills from those addresses? They're all in the same block. And he says, yeah, sure. So I got them all, did math on it. Oh, my gosh, there was one of them in there that had a daycare center. And they were using about 19,000 gallons of water a month. That was the next highest one. Ours, we were using over 25 and 30,000 gallons a month. No daycare. And part of the year that we were there, one of the units was empty, and there was only one person living in it. Only two people living in the other one, two people living in the other one. And there was a family of six living on the other. We were a family of four, two adults and three children. And there's no way I was using 12,000 gallons of water a month. I had a yard that I watered, and I never used over 4,000 gallons a month. That included watering my yard, taking 20-minute showers, every day. Here I wasn't. We weren't using much at all because, Philippines.
So there must be someone else connected to that, huh?
So there's something going on in here. So what I did is I said, okay, well, we're just going to hang in there for
Well, you know, all you have to do, this is a town control water bill, right? I mean, ultimately, it's controlled through the town. Well, what are you in, a town, village? What are you in?
A city.
City? Okay, well, again, you go down to the city. You know, you can go down and figure out how many connections are to that particular...
Well, I did. I have all of that. But here's the point. I said, fine.
But
all right.
How did
what
they
I
get
did is
so
I said,
much,
I'll pay the water bill, but I wrote separate checks. I said, because the utilities is not part of the rent, and it specifically says that. I'm responsible for my unit C, and I was always paying for everybody's, and there's all kinds of crap. Well, she knew there was a broken, so I called the city to come down and test to see why we're using so much water, because nobody's toilets were running, because I calculated that, if a toilet runs constantly, how much water you're going to use in a day,
right.
And nobody's toilets were running, but yet we still have these ridiculously high water bills. And so he came in and he tested, well, you got a broken water main. Well, where's the water? It was somewhere after. We're in unit C. A is the one that has the water meter. There's only one water meter. That's when we found out there's only one water meter. And he said, there's a break in the line somewhere. It's somewhere after A, and maybe we thought maybe it was A that broke his. Well, we'd have if it was the Waterman. He said,
"Didn't
we
you
have
talk?"
To care of it.
But didn't you talk with the town about this because they would require
yes.
4 meters for 4 different usages, you know, 4 different
well,
homes.
Well, they're a year ago or so they started doing that. They started installing meters, but they didn't do it in the rental properties, in the town owns yet. But all the residents got electronic meters, so. Anyway, I wrote 2 separate checks, and I wrote a check, and I always paid it on time, and I wrote on my check the amount of water that I used. Water, sir, was 2,200 gallons, 2,200 gallons.
Did you put a meter on your own pipe?
Yeah, well, I just measured it by hand. And
well, you can hire a plumber if you can't do it, and they can come in and put a meter inside.
Yes, they could, and I offered her to do that.
But you're renting,
putting in these
right?
electronic meters. Why don't
you're
you
renting,
do that? She wouldn't do it.
You're
she
renting.
Wouldn't do it. She's a property
Hold on. I just want to correct this problem here. I realize you're renting, and if you're renting, you can't break in and do that work on the water without their permission. So, but
right.
go ahead. But you can take the complaint to the town, and the town could force them to put meters, individual meters, because that's what's required. At least here in New York, each structure has its own meter. Even the electric meter has to be on. You can't have 2 or 3 and be responsible for 2 or 3 individuals, and there's no way that they can figure out who's doing what and how much usage of this or that. It just can't be calculated really very well.
Right, and I talked to the city water about it and said, well, the guy said it's the landlord's responsibility to fix that water main, and the city doesn't have anything to do with it. But I asked him, well, they disagreed with what she was doing. And he said, that's not right to do that. And I said, well, is there somebody I can talk to about forcing her to put meters in there? And that was, she said, she's a property manager. A good friend of mine is a property owner. And they get paid a commission. They get paid 20 to 25% of whatever rent, whatever money they collect. So she was collecting, well, $400 a month just in hours, $500 a month, $600 a month just in hours. So she gets 20% of that. So now she's got 100 and some units of townhomes that she was managing properties for, and only there's like 25 of them in our block, but she had 75. Well, if she puts meters in all these things, then she gets cut out on her little commission thing because she was doing that in all of them. Now, Fargo has something different, but it got down to the end. We got a house. We finally got in the house, and we went to month-to-month lease. And this is the part I want to get to. I just wanted to give you a little background. She's been committing fraud every day that we've had that lease. So I've been keeping records, and she accuses of all kinds of things, controlling my behavior. I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, you got smell coming out of your backyard, you're in breach of the lease. This is, we're in the lease to say that I can't have a dog. I had paid you $500 non-refundable deposit. Well, the yard was a shambles. When we moved in, there was nothing but dandelions and chickweed. And I tried to – I would not let them come in and spray in their chemicals because I had kids. But they weren't taking care of the lawn. They weren't taking care of the boulevards and that. I think they mowed the lawn the first time we were there like 3 times. They didn't do any edge control. The weeds were 2 feet high. I took pictures of that. And then in the wintertime, the boars were blowing off the fences, and she wouldn't fix them. We'd call in and complain about it. It'd be weeks. And some of us had pets, and the pets are getting out. And, I mean, it's just one thing after another. She violates her own lease. Now, here's my question. My understanding when I took law in college was that back in the 70s, a contract is an agreement to two people to perform, 2 parties to perform. If one party doesn't do their part, the contract is null and void. You just cancel it out. Now, in my case, we got a landlord who breached the contract. He's always accusing me of being a breach of the lease. Well, what are they doing to Trump? They're the ones that are doing the blaming. They're the ones that are doing the abusers. She was just accusing me of everything that she was doing or not doing and threatening to evict me. She actually gave me a 3-day notice one day, and I said, good for it. Go for it. And then at the very end of the lease, it says that if you don't renew the lease, because now we've gotten the house, but we couldn't nail down a closing date. So what we were going to do is go month to month. And I read the lease, and it says if you don't renew the lease, you go to month to month.
So what's the question, though?
So my term is this. My question is this. We're supposed to get a 60-day notice, and it says specifically in the lease, either the landlord or the tenant has to give a 60-day notice when they're going to vacate. We said we're going to go month to month. 2 days later, we get a letter giving us 30 days to move out. Not going to renew the lease. We're not going to go month to month. We just want you to move out, 30 days. and unfortunately it gets 60 days. So we scrambled. We got the closing date in the middle of the month of July, and we got out by July 30th. And I told her, we're not done cleaning this place. She came over, did an inspection, and I said, okay, now all these holes in the doors, you were supposed to fix those when we moved in, and you did not. You told the maintenance manager that you're not going to fix these doors. So I hope you're not planning on charging me for these doors. And that carpet was terrible when we moved in here. The carpet's 15 years old. It was not cleaned when we moved in. No doubt you charged the previous people there and kept their deposit because they didn't clean the apartment and the carpeting. We wanted it. You said you were going to clean it. You said you were going to fix the doors. You didn't. Nothing that you said you were going to do, you did. And so now we move out. And I said,
you're out of that problem altogether now.
We're out of the house now.
Okay, go ahead.
I get a bill from her for $10,000 that I got to pay for the carpeting. I got to pay for the cleaning of the house.
You don't by chance have any video or pictures that might help to support the fact that can be documented that this is the condition,
yes,
when you moved in?
And witnesses.
You know what you also need to do is find the individual that lived there before. That could be done through discovery if you go to court, but because they're not going to give you that information. But you can get it through discovery, and then you could discover how much they charge them for the damages and the fact that they didn't. Because it sounds like a con job here, you know.
Well, it is. In the yard, it was total. There was no grass left, so we bought. My wife worked at Menards, and we got 11% discount, plus she got 10% employee discount.
All right, but let's go to the question, because there are other people.
We bought artificial grass, and we put grass in the yard. So she wanted me to pay her for sodding the yard. There was no grass left. The weeds just wiped it all out. I tried planting grass. It just wouldn't grow. So we bought artificial grass. And that's the one we got. And my wife planted flower, and I planted some flower beds. All right, we moved out. And so I went back in there a couple of times. Well, then I found the door openers that they had and some more keys. And I said, well, I better return these. She'll accuse me of doing something else. And so I went back there at the end of August, and I had to go in there 2-3 times, and I found out that one of the lamps was busted. It wasn't busted when we left it. I did take pictures of all this stuff. And because of urine smell, they had to replace all the carpet.
So she's suing you or just sending you bills?
She says if I don't pay it, she's going to turn it over to collections.
But that doesn't mean anything. Well, look, if they turn it
over. Well,
listen.
Go ahead.
If they turn it over to collections, you can have that removed off of your report, you know, your credit reports or anything like that, and you can ignore it because there's no court order. You have to go to court. There has to be due process. So she's creating something that there is no due process with. And a lot of these reporting places, you know, the reports on your credit, they just put anything on there. But you can challenge every one of them concerning the due process.
Well, it said in the letter that we got from another thing, we're also involved in some medical fraud. Oh my gosh! I mean, it just doesn't stop. And I saw Jan or somebody talked about that before about medical fraud, what these clinics are doing. And my wife got assaulted at work, and it's on video. And she got attacked by a person with disabilities, and from behind, she was at checkout at the checkout, and from behind, he was a big guy, and he hit her really hard right at the shoulder blade, knocked the wind right out of her, hit her 3 times. The caseworker that was working with this guy did nothing. The supervisor was supposed to be out on the floor, you know, monitoring stuff. He was in the office watching.
Well, those are the people you have to sue. Those are the people you have to sue.
They mandated her going to the hospital. Well, this is a workman's comp, workforce safety issue. So we went in there. They mandated she had to do a drug test, and she was the one that was attacked. But she had to go.
Well, what's your question on that, though?
So, but going back to what this case is here. Now we get down here. I got a thing in the mail from a criminal lawyer that we've been very successful in defending criminal charges. We found this out about court records. Court records? What's going on? This was about a week and a half ago on Friday. I get a phone call message from a deputy sheriff saying he wanted me to call him as soon as possible, please. And so I called him. I got up in the afternoon, took my wife to work, and then called him. It was about 3:30, 4 o'clock when I talked to him. He said, there was a warrant issued for your arrest. I go, what? And I go, what's this all about? He said, well, I looked at this thing, and it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous warrant. He said, I'm not going to serve
you. The sheriff said that, right?
The deputy sheriff said he was supposed supposed to, and it was from on August 31st. When I called him, he was at home. He was off duty.
What was the charges for?
So that's what he said. You were charged for burglary of going into a. He couldn't remember the verbiage. He said, "Call into the office, and they can read you what the charges are." Well, I called in there and I said, "Can I get a copy of the charge?" "No, we're not going to do that." And I said, "Well, what do I have to do about this court thing?" He said, "Because the sheriff deputy said, just call him you want it, so I don't have to arrest you, and put you in jail, and you have to sit in jail with all these crooks and butt bangers." And he said, "I didn't want to do that. I looked up your record. You had a clean record. Your integrity, your perfect record, 71
yeah, but,
years
but,
old.
But hold on. But in order for but them, this, but for order for them to do anything to put criminal charges, they have to have evidence. What evidence do they have?
I don't know.
Well,
I put in the call to the state's attorney. Can I go down there into the courthouse, go to the state's attorney's office and get it? I asked her just to call me back and read to me what's on there. I'll write it down. And I was going to use that to talk to you tonight. And I couldn't get a hold of her again today. This was on Friday afternoon. And then today I couldn't get a hold of her again.
You should go down and speak to the sheriff himself. Look, an investigation is one thing, okay? If there's an investigation, that doesn't mean that there are charges. It means they're looking in to see if there's evidence that there should be charges. And when the deputy says that he's not going to do anything
he said, "I'm being charged with burglary."
Okay, but what evidence do they have? And that's the key. You got to go down and talk to the sheriff. You have a right to face your accusers. You have a right to know what charges are made against you. They can't hold that back. Okay, just go. You don't want to talk to the deputy no more. You want to go talk to the sheriff. You call in and you tell the sheriff that you have a little bit of a problem. You'd like to get 10, 15 minutes of their time. Can we make an appointment? And he should make an appointment with you. And you go down and you briefly give him the information. Say, "Well, what's going on? Okay, what charges? What evidence is here that would make that this and make the point that the deputy said that they're not going to execute that warrant? I mean, a warrant. Look, a warrant means that there's a court order and they can't ignore it. Charges is another thing. And these deputies and sheriffs are not educated. They may not even, unfortunately, even know the difference between the two. I mean, I had a situation here with someone local." That was put, that was dispossessed by the state police. By the state police. State police have no authority to dispossess anyone. Only the sheriff can do that. And the sheriff can't do it without a court order. And with the court order has to be a sworn affidavit. It's a warrant. Okay? So all of that, again, these people are ignorant. We're talking about a sheriff being ignorant here. We're talking about deputies being ignorant here. In your case, it's a deputy. I don't think they understand, and you need to go talk to the sheriff.
Well, the deputy thought it was silly and frivolous, and so that's why he didn't want me.
Yeah, but again, no.
Let me finish. He told me I have to call the court in order to, he doesn't have to arrest me and put me in jail, call down to the court and set up a court date. And then you can plead guilty or not guilty at that time. So he can't do anything about that now. But what he wants to do
Let me explain something, though. If there is a warrant from a court, okay, and all the paperwork is legal, no deputy, no sheriff has the ability to stop that unless it's illegal, okay? So if they believe it's illegal, then you need to go talk to the sheriff is what you need to do. You shouldn't have to go down to the court.
That's where I appreciate. What question should I ask? What should I be looking for? What should I be trying to determine?
Very simple. Your deputy told me that there was a warrant for my arrest, but they're not going to execute it because it was frivolous, or whatever words he spoke. And you're trying to get to understand what evidence do they even have? What do I have to defend myself from? They're claiming that there was a burglary. Well, what do they got? They got pictures of them? What do they got? You know, everything sounds like it's probably hearsay.
Well, I can read to you partly what I was able to write down. It said that that I had entered into a garage with a garage door opener, and that I entered into a building that was not open to the public without permission. She was always doing this without authorization.
Did you do that?
I did go into the building, yes, but I went in to see if this garage door opener was the right one. Because I had other garage door openers, so I opened up the garage door and went, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go in there and put the keys on the desk, and I'll just walk around and see if all these things she claimed that I did, that she did, was actually done." Well, it wasn't.
Okay, all right. And, so, write an affidavit of that form. Go down to the sheriff, talk to the sheriff, and ask them what they're going to do about it. Okay? And if there's a court order, there's not much he can do about it, then you got to go to court. Okay? And if the sheriff is not willing to execute that warrant, which, you know, to some degree, look at, if he feels the warrant's illegal, he shouldn't. Let me put it a different, you know, another way. Every person that goes to jail, that goes to a town court, village court, and most city courts, okay, any person they're put in jail for whatever the charges may be, okay, the sheriff should not, who should be running the running to the local jail, the county jail. Hopefully the sheriff's still running it in most places, but in any event, unfortunately they're not. But, you know, they should be rejecting any prisoner coming, anybody coming from a town court, village court, and most city courts. Reason being, because they're not courts of record. They have no power or authority to fine or incarcerate. Okay? But, again, sheriffs don't know that. Deputies don't know that. Judges don't even seem to know that.
Would the warrant say if it was a district court? Or, you know, it says the state's attorney is the one that I was supposed to call the office and get... You know, now, assholes, is there a time limit when I have to set this court date? No, it's just whatever you need.
First of all,
you
should write an affidavit, a detailed affidavit. Only the facts, though. Don't get lost in anything else. It shouldn't be any more than a page or two at the most. You write your affidavit, and then you go down. Again, I would go talk to the sheriff first. And if the sheriff can't do anything for you and says go to the court, then go to the court and file the paper into the court. You want to find out what's going on. You're here for this, blah, 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 blah. Here's my affidavit for that case. I want to get all the evidence concerning what is it they're charging me with. I don't understand. And that'll be that, okay? Now, they got to prove different. If you walked into the place, you opened the door, you walked in, you put the keys and the clicker there, and then you walked out. I guess you closed the door somehow or whatever. And then you walked out, and that's that. They'll have that on camera, exactly that, if that's what they're claiming. I mean, I presume there's video recording of that, no? Are the houses, they don't have?
There's pictures of what I took of it, you know, when I was in there. They said that there were, I don't know, it wasn't clean. I said, I cleaned it.
All right, well,
I couldn't finish
Before you go through all that.
Okay, the burglary thing. That's what bugs me. Okay,
right.
What's a
burglary?
That's
the point. That's the point. Look at how can they know? Is there videotape of you going in and out?
All they must have is pictures from a neighbor across the way that was working for her.
Okay. So if they're taking pictures, and they're probably taking numerous pictures, you're going in, numerous pictures you're going out, there'll be a time thing on it. You spent 60 seconds in there. That fits your idea of the fact that you wrote an affidavit claiming you were there just to return the keys and the clicker, and that would be that. You know, that's what that's all you can do. I mean, I don't see them making a federal case out of it anyway.
Well,
but
if you charge me for $10,000, and don't I have the right to call?
That's a different story. That's a different case altogether. That's not criminal. That shouldn't even be attached to the whole problem.
I didn't steal anything. I didn't damage anything.
Okay, listen. That has nothing to do with the burglary charge. You understand? Well, that's a different story. And if they're going to take
what
constitutes
a burglary? That evidence should show that, right?
Didn't
burglary involve having?
Yes. And you go talk. You go talk to the person who took the pictures, okay? And they have timestamps on it. Most pictures do. I mean, I know my camera. I said as long as the battery don't go dead, you got to reset the clock. But anything I take pictures of, I get a recording. They probably use their smartphone or something. That being the case, there's all kinds of time things on that.
Well, in my case,
anyway, I got to move on to the next person. We do have another person in the case.
So go to the court, or go to the sheriff first, ask him what's the evidence.
Bring your affidavit, have him put it in the file.
And then write up an affidavit to ask to put it in the file.
You make numerous original affidavits. You get maybe three or four originals. One of them you want to give to the sheriff when you visit him. If he says go talk to the court, when you go talk to the court, then you have him put that into the record also. So you'll have it there. And then you get your court date, you go in and deal with the problem. It's a ridiculous thing. What are they saying? If they're saying burglary, that means you took something out. What did you take out? That's the question. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
That's
my son was with me, too.
All right, well, then you have a witness. He should do an affidavit, too. I got to go, though. Right? We've been on a long.
Does he sign it with me, or does he just sign a separate one?
No. He's got to have his own affidavit.
His own
perspective of what took place.
Okay. All right. So
all right.
Now that she knows I got a house, now she's going to be able to get some judgment against my property. And that, well, good luck on that one anyway. But here's my last question.
Well, again, when
somebody breaks their terms of the lease, doesn't that negate their whatever a power or authority to push all these other things on?
Well, look, if they're claiming damages, if they're claiming damages that you did the damages, that's a problem because you have to somehow prove that you didn't do that, unfortunately, by the fact that these damages were already there when you moved in, okay? And
yes.
Again,
and she
you
knows
know,
that. It's on the,
and,
it's on the
and again,
board,
and again, and again, there are records that they have. You can subpoena the records. You can subpoena, not only through that subpoena can you get the records of that particular apartment, you also can get the name of the individual who was there, and you can visit that person and get an affidavit from them. And, what did they? Oh, they charged me $5,000, and they didn't fix it. But then you have to prove that it wasn't fixed. I mean, when you moved in, you should have taken pictures of that once you started to realize that they're not responding to the repairs that they were responsible to take care of. So if you did that, then you have hopefully some documentation.
Yeah, we have those.
Well,
we
then
have
on
at the end as well. So.
Okay, but if you got pictures on the beginning, though, when you came in after a couple of months or whatever, well, then there should be timestamps on that, too. And if you used your smartphone on that, definitely a big record on that, as long as it's still in your smartphone or UV.
Plus four eyewitness, I can get affidavits, too.
Well, yeah, that's what you want to do. But anyway,
I
got to go on to the next person.
So anyway, okay, so I'll... that's what I wanted to do. So at least I know more than what I did. So I'll do that. I'll go down to the sheriff's office, get what evidence he has, and then I guess I didn't understand. If I have a court, I have to go call in to get a court date. Does that mean they've already got? Or are they still doing things without affidavits?
I have no idea. All of this sounds weird.
I heard you say that some people are in jail and there's no affidavit was ever served.
Again, when you're going up against the status quo, and if this person has influence in the town or city, then that could be problematic if they're influential in some way. But I don't trust the court systems at all.
But
if you have a deputy, who did the we're going to move to the next caller, but let me just make this one point. Okay, if you have a deputy that says it's ridiculous and so on and so forth, and, the thing is the sheriff or his deputy, who has the power to do the same thing, makes the report, files it in the court, and then at that point you have criminal charges. Until that happens, there are no criminal charges against you. Did the state police, the town police, did the city police,
He made it sound like it was just handed to him. From the state's attorney.
You got to go figure that. You got to go look at all that paperwork and see what's going on, because you don't have the information to know. But I got to move on. Okay, Rich?
Okay. Later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Next caller, wireless caller 575. Let me unmute you here. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Annette. I'm from New Mexico.
Okay.
And I'm calling because my understanding of the writ mandamus to the sheriffs was sent to all of them or all of the counties across the nation, right?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. What we put together some couple of years back in the beginning of our process of a writ mandamus and then a writ quo warranto.
Yeah, that happened in like 2015.
Right.
And so I sent a copy of it to our district court clerk here,
mm-hmm.
who, just asking for, wanting a response from them as to what they did and if they notified people about it. And they're totally blowing me off. So I'm thinking they didn't let anybody know anything about it. But
who are we talking about now? We're talking about the courts? We're talking about the sheriffs? What are we talking about?
Well, I sent the mandamus, however you say it, I sent that to the sheriff here. I sent it to other people, several agencies, and I sent it to the court. And I even sent them some of the other work that has come out of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And I got a letter back from the clerk today. I've sent these copies to quite a few places, but I finally got the correct name of the clerk, because everybody's like, if they work in an official office around here, they don't like to say what their names are, like it's some big secret or something.
It is a big secret, because they're doing criminal activities. It's organized crime, and they don't want you to know who they are.
Yeah, exactly. So I finally got the correct name of the district court clerk, the 4th Judicial District Court clerk. And
let me ask you a couple questions, because I don't understand what you're talking about. You sent the papers to who, and why did you send them to that, to whoever?
Because I wanted a response from them of what they've done, because we're supposed to return. The nation is supposed to, it's a Republican, supposed to be under a Republican form of government. So,
well, when you have the mob in control, do you think they're going to obey the law or listen to you?
No, I know that they're not, but they need to know that we're serious. They need to know that we're serious,
right,
on these
well,
things.
We've been doing this since 2015, okay? And it started off with it was a writ quo warranto, not a writ mandamus. Although there are writ mandamuses also involved in this case, there are lots of memorandums, there's lots of things, okay? But it started off with, we filed it against every sheriff in the nation, every federal special agent in charge, that brings us to the federal level. We filed it to the U.S. Marshals, all 94, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the state militia, the governors, all 50 states, all federal and state courts, all assemblymen, all state and senators, and all U.S. congressmen, all U.S. senators, and we also, the news media. And not one of them answered. Not one. Okay?
Well,
and they're not going to, because they're criminals and they don't obey the law. We don't have courts of justice. Now, of course, we realize this, and our focus is on the end game, and the end game is right now. This is the end game. The next 2 months is going to tell us where we're at. I know where we're going to end up. We're going to end up back with a republic. I do believe that a lot of these people are going to be in jail, and some end up on the end of a short rope, and then we'll have things back. The question is the question that Franklin asked, what kind of a government do we have? Well, you have a republic if you can keep it. Same statement right now. We're going to give you're going to have a republic if you can keep it, okay? But we don't have our courts corrected. And unfortunately, the only people that are focusing in on the problems in the courts are esquires, minions of the New World Order. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. Even if you're talking to Trump, he's not going to get involved in the legal aspect to understand that. He should get involved to understand it, but he's not going to really necessarily get involved in that. He gets a legal paper, he sends it to his lawyers. He doesn't even look at it. He probably don't even get directly to him anyway. He probably goes directly to his legal people, and then they'll say, hey, yeah, you got this paper, a bunch of crazies, don't worry about it. We'll just file it correctly, and they throw it in the trash can. Because that's what they do. Anything you do, anybody, when you go and you talk with anybody, you get an army of lawyers that just prevent you from even speaking to the individual you're trying to correct, who represents you, and you elected, or they were appointed by someone you elected, and you can't get to talk to them. You know, we're going up against some individual in New York State, the controller, okay? We cannot get to that controller. We cannot have a conversation with that controller. They have an army of lawyers that meet you at the door, and then you are escorted out because they are the mob, Okay, it's a criminal organization that has seized control of our entire nation. As a matter of fact, they have seized control of the entire world through their democracies that they've been building over the past 60 or 70 years. That's what they're doing, and that's what we're against. You're not going to get justice.
I agree. It is the mob, and they haven't done anything, and I haven't, like you said, you didn't get any responses from any of them, and I didn't get any responses from anybody that I've sent them to. So the thing is I think that we have to continue to put more pressure on them. Next thing I'm going to send out is I'm going to send out the presentment that you did just in October.
Let me just explain something, okay? I don't know how you're on a phone. You can't see what I'm doing, Are you on an app or just your phone?
Oh, I'm just on my phone today.
Okay, so you can't see what I'm showing on my desktop. I'm just showing to everybody. In this particular case, these are all the papers that we filed in the court. All of this entire page, and it's hundreds of papers, okay? Habeas corpuses, moved for cause, memorandums, writ quo wantos, and the list goes on and on, all right? And the purpose of this is to build evidence to show that this is a conspiracy, because no matter who you deal with, no matter what court you go into, no matter what you do, whether it's a federal court on the East Coast or a federal court on the West Coast or in the interior, anywhere, it does not matter. They all do the same thing. They all break the same law. They all say the same thing. Okay? So that proves conspiracy. Okay? And the facts that are written and documented here is all causes worthy of death, ultimately. It's worthy of the harshest punishment because it is subversion against the United States of America, against the Constitution, against the people. Okay,
and
the amount of damage they've done is incalculable. Okay, died in prison. The people who have lost everything went to debtors' prisons, sitting in prison still today. All of them. Just think of the damn. And it's not just those individuals. It's the families of those individuals. They have children. They have spouses. It just goes on and on and on and on. The only justice is to send them to God and let Him deal with it. That's the only justice we can really apply here, in my opinion. Now of course, everyone gets a jury, and there are different degrees, and not everybody's guilty to the maximum degree. So again, a lot of people are ignorant, but ignorance is no excuse either. You're not going to get anywhere, but you could do whatever you want with that paperwork. We don't care. If you want to send them anything and you want to take anything to them, go to our front page, okay? And just go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Right on the front page, there's a couple of inches down, you'll come a presentment with an order to the United States Supreme Court. Send that paper
to them. That's what I'm sending them next. Yeah, I'm going to be sending that to them this week. I wanted to see what their response was for the other stuff, but they basically blew me off and said, we are in receipt of your letter. It asks for information. We are not required to answer questions or create documents under IPRA. So they wouldn't even file it in their court like the court clerk is supposed to do. They've totally, completely disregarded my declaration and all of my evidence of all the stuff that I have that they've done against me and my family. And now they're trying to steal our land again. And so, I've basically sent out, paper trail to all these people so that it can prove more of the conspiracy that's going on and be proof that, they won't listen to us. They won't redress our grievances at all. We can't even get an audience.
They're not going to listen until they're arrested and charged and tried. Until then, they're not going. Let me tell you something. These people, in my opinion, and I've dealt with a number of these people, I've spoken to a lot of these different people throughout this whole process, and I want to tell you something. They are either psychopaths or they are, what's the other one, psychopaths and sociopaths. Okay, the only difference between a psychopath and a sociopath is one is born, the other is created. So the psychopath is born, the sociopath is created, something serious in their childhood created their situation. But in any event, the government looks for psychopaths and sociopaths. They love to put them in positions of control, and they control them because there's a favor going on. We're being ruled over by sociopaths and psychopaths. We'll call them all psychopaths. We're being ruled
and
over
by
psychopaths.
Then they call me crazy.
The judges are psychopaths. They are psychopaths. They are totally insane. They have no heart, and they have no morals at all. I have seen and before the court all kinds of things, and they have no compassion, they have no empathy, and they have no sense of justice. All they know is about, from my opinion, the almighty dollar and the power of being that position and injuring people. Look at Kamala Harris, what she has done when she was a prosecutor out there in California, okay? I mean, the stories go on. You know how many people she put in jail because of smoking marijuana? My goodness. And yet she passes over the other cases where the hard drugs are even involved. Not that they should be prosecuted either. Of course, we should deal with this on the traffic level with the people bringing this into this country, the people selling the stuff. They now fall under the law because they got a business going, an unlawful business, but a business nevertheless. And those people could be prosecuted and dealt with. But the person who's putting a needle in their arm, that poor slob, doesn't necessarily belong in jail. And you know, how many people do you know that don't smoke marijuana? Let's put it that way. Okay.
Well, I live in New Mexico, so now it's recreational. So anybody can smoke it.
Yes.
And anybody can grow it. So it's not a big deal anymore.
And it never should have been a big deal.
No, it should have never. Right.
There's lots
right.
of reasons why they did this. Look at you know, with what Kennedy's doing has just revealed over 1,000 poisons in our food alone, okay? Things that they put into our food that over time create kidney problems, create liver problems, create heart problems, create all kinds of different problems, digestive problems.
I worked in kidney transplant for 7 years. So yes, I know all about that stuff. You know, not all about it, but I know a lot about it.
Well, that's just our food. They've done the same thing with our water. They, you know, fluoride is poison. Do you know where fluoride comes from? Fluoride is the end results of the product of a sewage treatment plant. That's where fluoride comes from.
And
okay?
I found out that they're still putting it in our water here.
And look what they're doing in the air. They're poisoning the people, making them sick, making tons of money, and then shortening their lives. Look what they're doing to children. I don't know if you saw the videotapes that Trump put out with these children. I think it was Trump that put it out there, you know. But you got these two children, they're twins, and they're stuck in infancy, okay? They're stuck because of these shots that they took. And,
no, no.
And people are still taking these shots. Look at, these people are criminals. It's incalculable, the damages that they have done. The minions of the New World Order, they have designed this whole thing. Okay?
And
minions of the New World Order are esquires, and esquires are bar attorneys. People that have created this whole system. They destroyed a political process. They destroyed our judicial process. They've destroyed our educational system. They destroyed the news media. They have destroyed everything. And then they've made it legal to put poison into our food, into our air, into our water, and then write laws and different things to protect them. They say, well, these people can't be held accountable. You can't sue them. It just goes on and on. And when are people going to wake up, enough of the people? I think hopefully now there is enough of the people. But I'll tell you what, the ones that haven't woken up, they'll be woken up in the next month or two, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it, in America is going to be biblical, okay? It's going to be serious. We're talking all kinds of problems, bank failures, stocks falling. We're talking... you know, you won't be able to get to any money. The economy totally, you know, forget about it. Everything. You think prices are high now? We haven't seen high prices yet. We're going to war. There's going to be civil war in the cities. It's serious. Now, it is possible. It is possible. It may not be as bad as it can be because, you know, certain situations have been taking control of a lot of these things. The white hats are doing certain things. The military has been watching, and you know, there's a lot of things going on. Anybody who's been following the Q, you know, it talks about 10 days of darkness, and that's going to be probably the worst time because really you're going to hear a lot of bad stuff, and then it's going to go silent. That's what I think is going to happen, and there's going to be a lot of problems, and I think a lot of people are going to die, especially in the cities. But they do claim that they're going to be able to deal with this quickly. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully that's correct.
I hope so, but yeah,
that's what it takes. That's what it takes to wake people up. Because people don't want to read no more. They don't want to learn. They don't want to do. Look, you can't have liberty without going in and getting involved and making sure that you have government by consent, and that requires a little bit of our time, a little bit of our money. It requires our effort, and if people aren't willing to do that, then you ain't gonna have nothing. There is no liberty.
Exactly. Well, I did my declaration, and then I got all the evidence together that support my declaration, and that was 1,839 pages of evidence, and they won't even listen to me with that.
No,
and I sent it directly to the Department of Justice, Attorney Merrick Garland, and they won't.
First. Are you talking about the worst prosecutors out there?
I know, but he's been given notice, and he's been given notice since November. They received it as of November the 24th, 2023. So, and so I've sent it to them a couple more times since then to give them three copies, and they're going to know really soon that we're really serious about what we've said. And, the Republic of Texas is involved with that, and you know.
Well, again, you on this side of devolution, we're not going to get anywhere. It's just a matter of collecting evidence, and that's that. We're done with it. We've collected everything we needed to collect. We filed our final papers. We've given them their final wording, the final warning, and now they'll do whatever they got to do or whatever they want to do. But the end result is going to be justice. There's no doubt about that. I think that's the end result. There's going to be justice in America. Because if there's not justice in America, if we don't get back our courts and we don't get back our political process, we don't get back our government by consent, we don't get back our constitution, we don't get back our common law, we don't get back our due process, we don't get back any of these things, then the Republic is done. And it's lock and load or just accept the slavery that they're going to put you into, which I don't believe we're going to end up that way. I do believe the other way.
Yeah, well, I'm going to send them the presentment next. I know I'm not going to get a response. So, and I know that they're, you know, the election's tomorrow, which Kamala isn't even really eligible, or she isn't eligible at all because she is an attorney or a lawyer. And
well, beyond that
was the 13th Amendment.
She's also an anchor baby. She doesn't qualify to become the president of the United States.
Exactly.
In order to become a president of the United States, you have to be natural born. And natural born means that you have two parents that are citizens at the time of your birth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, born under that influence as a citizen of the United States. Which you exercise in any one of the 50 states, a citizen of whatever state. But in any event, that's what is required. She is not natural born. Neither was Obama. You know, Obama.
No. And they were not supposed to be. They're not supposed to be president.
Yeah, but they made this big thing, okay? And let me tell you how dumb people are, that we don't even wake up to this. You know, look, just go into Black's Law, go into Beauvoir's Law, find out what a natural-born citizen is. And a natural-born citizen is exactly what I told you it is. Now,
we all know
that Obama's father was never, you know, they go through this fake birth certificate out of Hawaii and all this other stuff, which, you know, even Trump put that up and other people did too. Nobody believes that he's a citizen at all anyway. But beyond that, all you have to just go to the fact his father's not a citizen, never was. He's disqualified as becoming president of the United States. But he did. He was president for eight years.
Yeah, yeah, that to me was treasonous. You know? It was treasonous.
Of course it was. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so you got a final word for a moment or so. We got to close down.
Okay, well, yeah, so I'm just saying that, yeah, if she, you know, if they try to make it so that she becomes president, well, she's not a legal president.
She's not going to become president. She's running for president. The bottom line, on the long term, no matter what happens anyway, she's running for president of the United States, Inc. Whereas, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, you know, President Trump is still the president, and he's the president of the United States of America. He says a lot of little things that make that point also. I mean, we get this from many sources, particularly Q. But beyond that, if you listen to what Trump says every once in a while, he puts something out there to say, whoa, you know, if that's true, then he's still the president of the United States. Okay?
Well, it was great that he visited our state this last week on the same day that my great grandchild was born. So it was a great day.
All right. Well, we got to close down. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good night, everyone. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.